All right, if you will, take your Bibles and turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. And now that we've did a few lessons on some doctrinal things about the Mosaic Covenant, we're just going to pick it back up and start with verse 1 and go over some practical application now out of the Ten Commandments and what's following if we have time. Now, having gone over a lot of things about the Mosaic Covenant, about keeping of the commandments, and what it meant for Israel, and what it means for us today, and what it's going to mean in the tribulation, we need to be reminded that I love to go over doctrinal application. I love to go over a future application. But practical application for us today is very important. And your church age epistles for the body of Christ, Romans through Philemon, from your apostle, Paul is our apostle. And he tells you in Romans chapter 13, beginning with verse 9, "For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Now, he repeats many of these commandments, and you'll notice one that he doesn't mention is the Sabbath. And so we need to understand that the moral aspect of this is still binding on the Christian. It just doesn't have anything to do with you keeping your salvation, or for that matter, the Bible talks about those who kept the commandments and you get blessed by that. Now, you need to keep that in mind, because you may keep the commandments and be blessed. I think you ought to. I think you should. You'll stay in good standing with the Lord, good fellowship with the Lord. That is what you want to do. But the commandments, as far as the law was concerned, as far as Israel was concerned, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart..." See, they had to be from the heart of faith, not just keeping them outwardly. "Heart, keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." Now, that might happen, might not. You don't have that promise in the dispensation we're in now, the body of Christ, the church age. But I will say this, there is blessing in keeping those commandments. It'll keep you close to the Lord. If it doesn't do anything else, it will keep you in a good fellowship with the Lord, peace of mind, good spiritual life. I will say that your life spiritually will be greatly you would just abound and be greatly helped, and it add that to you. Another thing in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 4, "He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words." It's a heart matter. It just this outward keeping of it didn't do them any good. And for you, you ought to do it from the heart. "Keep my commandments and live." Now, we don't have that "and live" part of it. You may keep the commandments and die early. You may keep the commandments and not be blessed, but you will have a blessing of fellowship with the Lord, and that's better than any other blessing there is. And so we're going to go over some practical application from keeping these commandments, and you need to understand that these things are so much of a blessing just to be able to apply them to your life. Thank the Lord we're not like this rich young ruler in Matthew chapter number 19. He comes to the Lord in verse 16 and says, "Behold, one came and said to him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Now, you know that's not the same question in the church age. When the man talks to Apostle Paul in Acts 16, verse 31, he says, "What must I do to be saved?" And he said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." But the Lord, under the law, tells this man, he said to him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." What is he saying? If you're saying I'm good and there's none good but one, that's God, you must believe that I'm Messiah. You must believe I'm the Son of God, which is requirement for them. And he said, but if thou would enter into life. Now, they were looking at that time, entering into that kingdom where the kingdom of God was going to come rule down. They had been praying. The disciples said, Father, teach us how to pray. He said, pray thy kingdom come. He said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what he taught them to pray. And so he said, if you'll enter into that, their eternal life was based on getting into that literal, physical, visible kingdom and eating from that tree of life and having life from that. He says, if thou would enter into life, keep the commandments. That is, we're not entering into that life like that. We are born into that. We're born again from the washing of regeneration. Not water, but regeneration washes the Christian. And regeneration, what is that? That's a new birth. He told him over there in Matthew 19, verse 23, then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly, watch this, enter into the kingdom of heaven. We don't enter into that kingdom of heaven. We are born into the kingdom of God. And why did he say a rich man? A rich man can get saved today just as easy as it is for him to come to the Lord, a sinner, and trust the gospel and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He can get saved just like that. But they were looking at going into the tribulation at this time, and that doctrine is placed on hold for the church age, the body of Christ. And one of these days, it'll be on this side of the blood. So there's some amendments to that, to doctrine now. But at the same time, they're going to be looking at entering into that kingdom. We're born in the kingdom. So we notice those distinctions, and we could keep talking about that. But we're going to try to get in some practical application out of these commandments today. So in Exodus 20, verse 1, we'll back up, and it says, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thank the Lord, practically speaking for me, and you, if you're saved, you're brought out of the house of bondage. That is a type of the devil ruling over you, and you were in bondage to sin and death, and now I'm no longer in bondage to that. I've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of me, and I can yield to that Holy Spirit, yield my members of as instruments of righteousness instead of unrighteousness, and yield to the Holy Spirit of God and serve Him in a capacity where He can work in and through the believer. And it's not bondage to death anymore. Don't have to fear death anymore. Don't have death's sting has been taken out of death. Because my life is here with Christ and God. And he goes on to say in verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, church age. Let's look at some definitions here. What I love about the King James Bible, it is the Word of God, and the passages are defined within the text. It has a built-in dictionary where you can you'll find a word that's hard to maybe understand, and you will find the definition in that context within a verse or two above, or that verse itself, or a verse or two below. So we turn over here to Philippians. Let's look at some modern day gods. Turn to this Philippians 3, verse 18. He says this. Well, let's just back up verse 17for some just some fun here. Brethren, he's talking to brothers and sisters in Christ. He's talking to people who are saved. Otherwise, he wouldn't have called them brethren. Be followers together of me. He's following Christ. And as long as a man's following Christ, you can follow him. People say, I don't follow a man. Okay, well, just don't go to work and do what your boss says. And mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. They are a literal sample of how somebody is to walk for the Lord. And he says, mark them. He talks later on about mark them which cause divisions and stuff like that and strifes contrary to the doctrine. You ought to mark some people. And there ought to be people you say, look, it just doesn't do me any good to be around that person. That person is not walking close to the Lord. Yes, they're still saved, understand all that, but they drag me down, they bring me down. I don't need to have any more fellowship when I have to with them because they bring me down. And you can't. Some people, you just can't help them. They won't let you help them. Verse 18, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping." It had literally got him to the place where he wept over people who were just the way they were walking. And I'll tell you something, the way some people walk, it really does upset you. It really does upset you to see people who you know that they're saved, you know they ought to be serving the Lord, and they're not walking with the Lord. It just breaks your heart that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Look at that. The enemies of the cross, they're not getting the gospel out. Anybody who is not trying to get the gospel out, whether they realize or not, they can be an enemy of the cross of Christ, that cross work, because they're doing things in the name of the Lord and not having the right motive. Now, watch what happens here. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. Now, he said, don't have any more gods before me. Here's a commandment here. This is one that we need to make sure that we obey so we have good fellowship with the Lord. And it says, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. Mind earthly things. You know what they're doing? For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know it's wrong. People stop looking for the Savior, and you end up making your own self your own God. Your own self, whose God is their belly. Now, if you'll notice, we can get some definitions here. I'm going to give you a definition for belly out of the text in Numbers. There's a text in Numbers, chapter 5, verse number 22. The Bible says, "And this water that causeth the cursed shall go into thy..." let's see here. It says, "to go into thy bowels, to make thy belly to swell, and thy thigh to rot, and the woman shall say, Amen, Amen." Now, you'll notice here, bowels, to make thy belly. All right, so bowels and belly can be the reference to the same thing. So when he said, whose God is their belly, we can take a passage sometimes, and when it has the word bowels in it, that can be another word for belly. So you take that text, and you'll notice something. Whose belly are bowels, that's inward part, is their shame, is their glory, is their shame. So I'm going somewhere with this. In Genesis 43, in verse number 30, the Bible says this. It says, "And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep, and he entered into his chamber and wept there." So here's a man here, and it says his bowels did yearn, and he's weeping. Okay, so you can see oftentimes that emotions, these bowels, these emotions here are what these people are going by just from the definitions of the text. Now, look, Paul was weeping in verse number 18. Nothing wrong with that. Joseph weeping for his brothers. Nothing wrong with that. But do you know there are good emotions and there are bad ways to use emotions? Some people, you got some of these people, if they get in the slightest bit of trouble or something like that, they'll start crying at the drop of a hat just because they've learned over life they can get out of trouble by that. They go by their emotions. Why? Because if they're not getting their way, they will whip up some tears and whip up some emotions to try to get out of that trouble. Well, what you have is today, there's often, you'll see people who, yes, they're saved, but they want to get their way all the time, so they go by emotions instead of doctrine. And we just seen that there's one place, I think there was another one I marked in 1 Kings chapter 3 maybe, and I think it was verse number 26. Another like reference here. Let me read it and see. It says, "Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king for her bowels." That can be another word, bowels, belly, yearned upon her son. "And she said, Oh my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it." You got this woman's deeply, her bowels is deep down. She is literally yearning for her son, and the other woman, she's just don't even worry about it, and just divide it up. King Solomon knew whose son it was by the one who didn't want any harm to the child. That lady had right emotions, but there are people who use their emotions, whose God is their belly, whose end is destruction, whose God is one. You can destroy your testimony behaving in a selfish manner. It's all about you. It's all about you all the time. You. Me, self. That's the epitaph on the last days church, where he says this. Know also in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now that word times, a time is a unit. You know where the Bible says time, times, and half a time. That's the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. But time, that's one unit. Times, that's two units. Half a time, half of a unit. So you have times. We don't know how long it's going to be, these last days are, but evidently the last day, it's going to be a while with these perilous times. It's not going to be like a year or two. This may be several years of these perilous times, because it said men shall be lovers of their own selves, who God is their belly. You see, it says traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures. And as one of my favorite preachers preached on, talking about this text here, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. He said, rightly so. They love God. Didn't say they didn't love God, but it said they love pleasure more, whose God is their belly. They as long as it pleases them, never mind what everybody else thinks. They don't care what anybody else thinks. Look, I don't think when you're serving the Lord, there's nothing wrong with saying I don't care what anybody thinks, I'm going to serve God. But when you don't care what anybody thinks, and you're going to go to the place where you're going to live for the devil no matter what, and you're not worried about and not concerned about how it affects the body of Christ, you're going to be in a mess. Why? It's going to be whose glory is in their shame. It's a shameful thing. It's a shameful thing to behave like that. Why? Everything else looks right, and you got your belly just poking straight out. It's able to be seen. It's a shameful thing just to mind earthly things without looking for the Savior all the time. Now, how does this happen? If you stop looking for the Savior, looking above, you're going to start minding earthly things. And you know what's going to happen? You're gonna disobey that first commandment. And it starts off. It's first for a reason. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's yourself. You know what the devil said? I will ascend. I will. He put himself first, and he became his own God. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ did when he came down, the perfect servant? He said, not my will, but thy will be done. The devil says, I will, I will. He didn't say that. You know what our whole thing is, Lord, does this please you? Is this exhibiting the mind of Christ? The Bible said in Philippians chapter 2, let nothing be done through strife or vanity. That's me. If you got a vanity, you're looking at yourself. Vain glory, but in lowliness of mind. That's almost absent today. It's almost absent. Everybody is I. How can I please myself, and how can I get my way? Let each esteem other better than themselves. Your point of view is always right, isn't it? What you think is always right, no matter what. I'm always right. You know what that attitude will get you? That'll get you division. And that's what's going on today. So what do you think about I serve alongside some real good folks, and I thank God for it. But I tell you this right here, I still at the same time see on a whole, I see all kinds of people putting themselves above others no matter what. That's what you see. It's amazing at what goes on. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. If you're always right and everybody else is always wrong, something's wrong. You're not right all the time. You just think you are. Your God is your belly, and your glory is your shame. It's a shameful thing for you to look like that. It's a shameful thing for you to put yourself first, yourself first. You just gobble it up, gobble it up, gobble it up, gobble it up. And I tell you, it'll hurt your walk with the Lord, and it'll hurt your walk with others. And that's something I think that commandment needs to be driven in just so much, because it's so easy for us just to get to the place to where we're not concerned for other people in the body of Christ. And so you say, well, how am I thinking that? Okay, are you always right? There's no way you're always right. You say, well, how can I tell if I'm doing that or not? You look, only God is right all the time. Only God is. So if you think you're right all the time, and you think, well, everybody else is wrong on this deal, you better check that with the Lord. What I'm telling you is, and it's, look, a lot of these people get on this news stuff and they try to tell me about this. I couldn't care any less. The longer I get with all this COVID stuff and all this, I don't even want to hear it. I don't want, why? Because all that stuff is a bunch of lies. One guy's telling a lie, and another guy may lie more, and the other guy may lie less, but they're all liars. So what do? You have to go by the plumb line, by the Bible. I'm telling you, these people who are going by the news media and going by a bunch of lost people. You say, well, what about, I like old so-and-so. Okay, well, is he saved? Well, I just like him. Okay, well, is he saved? Okay, so you're gonna take the advice of an unsaved person over the Bible and think that your God is not your belly. Well, you're consuming that stuff spiritually. Look, you got two bellies. You got a soul belly that feeds off the Word of God, feeds off faith, feeds off the Lord says, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. Over in John chapter 4, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. You got a spiritual belly and you got a physical belly. And if you're feeding your physical belly more than your spiritual belly, your God is your physical belly, because you're feeding the body more than you are the soul. And you're having another God before the Lord, and He said, "Don't have any little g gods before me." Now that's we got to get that first and foremost. So if you're going to serve the Lord, and I hope this is a help to you, I'm not just trying to stomp on people, but I'm telling you, these things are here for a reason. They're 10 commandments, not 10 suggestions. Thou shalt not. No wonder why they won't take these things out of the courtrooms and stuff like that, and they shove God out and wonder where God is. Where's God at in all this? Well, you kicked Him out. He's a perfect gentleman. He's not going to stay around if you don't want Him. You want to put yourself in front of God and see what happens? Well, your glory be your shame. I'm just telling you that we have to be real careful to go by the Bible first. And people talk about, well, I do go by the Bible, do go by the Bible. Well, you don't read it. That's what you're seeing. You're seeing a time where people's God literally is their belly. They're consuming everything else but the Word of God, and wondering why they're spiritually starving, and wonder why there's so many things going on mentally. Because if you don't feed your physical body, you will have all. You can get headaches. You can start feeling bad. You can get the shakes. Like with me, man, I'm spoiled myself. If I don't eat after several hours, I feel terrible. Well, that's how it is with your soul body. I mean, your soul has to have that Word of God, has to have prayer. It feeds off fellowship with the Lord, feeds off doing things for the Lord. And if you starve that thing out, you're putting the physical above the spiritual, your God's your belly, and then you're going to have ramifications because of that. Now, he goes on to say in verse number 4 of chapter 20, Exodus, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. So don't make these gods. You see all kinds of images, and you go to places and you see these images. The Roman Catholics are big on images, and they have statues to Mary and statue. And I've been, the older I get, the more, I don't know what's going on around here, but I see more and more statues of Mary. Well, that's not right. One of the biggest things, I guess, that gets me is I see these people, and a lot of people don't know better, and I understand that, but they have a cross and have the Lord Jesus on the cross. He's already went to the cross. Get Him down from that cross. That's not right. Don't do that. Why? That's not right. The Lord Jesus Christ has already came down from the cross. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. And like we sing, look, he's in heaven now. He's the mediator, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He's not on the cross anymore. And that's a violation of that commandment. But you got these images people make and things like that. And I know a lot of people that I'm talking to don't have any problem with that. But y'all not have any images. That's not a good thing. Now I will say this. You know, you got some of these people, and they just get some. I mean, they say, well, you can't have any pictures in your house. That's going too far with it. When you get to reading about this tabernacle later on and stuff like that, they had chairs. And stuff like that, and they had made some images of the knops and all that. You get to read, and we'll go into detail, Lord willing, if the rapture don't happen between now and then. But don't make any graven images, and they're worshiping these things, and you can't have it in a worshipful sense. But there's nothing wrong with having pictures up on the wall. Some people just take things just completely too far, so you can't go too far out of bounds that way. Verse number 5. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them. See what they're doing, nor serve them. They're taking these images and they're literally bowing down to them, worshiping them, and that's wrong. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. So he's saying, look, you hate me when you're doing that. He said, and man, it's going to get all the way down to the third and fourth generation. That's really bad right there. Now, the Lord has amendments to things in the Bible. Like whenever you read the book of Deuteronomy, that's a retelling of the law. And he makes some amendments in Deuteronomy, and you know, you'll read things in Exodus, and a lot of people say, well, there's contradictions in the Bible. And no, what's he saying is it's a Deuteronomy is a second giving of the law, and what it's doing is it's showing there's a repetition of the law. He's giving you a repetition of it, but he's showing the variations in the law. Now, the Lord will do that. The Lord will make amendments as the Bible goes. For instance, the Lord comes up and he said in Matthew, he said, Moses said one thing. He said, but I say unto you. And he'll say, but I say unto you. He's making a change. He's making an amendment. So from this thing here, it looks like in Ezekiel 18, it looks like he amends this thing to me. Now, if somebody knows something else here, I'm still learning myself, but it looks like he amends this in Ezekiel 18. He says in Ezekiel 18, verse number 4, behold, all souls are mine as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Okay, now we jump down to verse number 20. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father. See, that looks like it kind of contradicts what's going on there in Exodus. Neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. Now, if I've missed something there, somebody can let me know. But it looks like the statutes are still in play, and you know, from what he's talking about in verse number 21, and he's talking about righteousness, and it looks like by this time he's just reckoning what the Father does and the Son does. It looks like he's amended that thing there. But if somebody knows something further, that, you know, you can send it to me, or I'm willing to learn myself. That's what that looks like. In verse number 6, it says, "And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." Now, we went in pretty good detail on that. And under the law, Mosaic covenant, there were blessing and curse connected with keeping those commandments, and they had to do that. Some did that. Now, they did not keep them sinless. They could keep them blameless. Whenever they sinned, they had to offer that correct sacrifice to get them back in accordance with the law, and we went into that. So hopefully we cover that in pretty good detail. detail. Verse number 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Now, you look at a verse today, like Romans chapter 3, and I believe it was verse number 14. The Bible talks about those whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Cursing and bitterness. You got that today. You got people, you know, we'll use euphemisms. People say stuff like gee whiz, you know, jeepers. And you think, well, nothing's wrong with that. What's that J in there? Why do you got to see? You don't say Jesus. Now, some people, they'll just go ahead and say it. They just throw that name. That's a name above all names. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. And people just throw that name out there and just God this and God that. You better be careful. Now, look, I realize we're not under that law. He said, thou shalt not hold him guiltless. You know, we have forgiveness in the body of Christ and things like that. But you better believe, as far as your fellowship's concerned, you got these people that don't believe in repentance when Paul teaches repentance. And man, I can do a whole study on that thing. Repentance is good for you. You ought to. It's commanded. And you think you can talk like that and have real good fellowship with the Lord, you're crazy. Crazy. You need to be real careful about how you talk about the Lord. His name is holy. And his name is righteous, and we should be real careful about how we treat the Lord. And I tell you, I go so far as this right here. The Bible said his name is, his word is magnified above all his name. I believe you ought to be careful how you treat the Bible. I believe you ought to treat this Bible with some care, some respect. People just throw their Bibles around, pitch them on the pews, and leave them just anywhere, and they don't care. I think you ought to be careful about that. Well, that's, yeah, I don't have a Bible verse on it, so, you know, as far as just how to, but I tell you this right here, the word of God is pure. Therefore thy servant loveth it. Now, would you take your cell phone and just leave your cell phone just anywhere and just pitch it? Well, I guess some people would. Who knows? With people buying other people's stuff, they don't respect things. I don't know. But I just think, according to the Bible, that you'll see people holding that Bible in high regard. And I wonder why so many people don't get very much things out of the Bible when they read it. It's probably because they don't hold it in very high regard. They'd rather read anything other than the Bible. And I'm telling you, that's why so many people nowadays really don't get much out of it. Well, the Bible said the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, if the Bible is reading you whenever you're reading it, and the Bible knows in the Word of God there is alive, it's quick and powerful. That means it's alive and it's full of power, and it knows, it's got enough power in it to know whether you care about it when you're reading it. You take that Bible and pick it up and say, I'd rather be doing something else, and you think the Lord's going to reveal things to you? What if you were talking to your best friend there, and you're rolling your eyes and yawning and looking off and looking down at your cell phone? You think your friend's going to tell you a secret during that time, or tell you something that he thinks, or he or she thinks is important at that time? No. Well, that you got to understand, the Lord's alive. This Bible is alive, and we ought to make sure that we take the things of God serious. And I think that will entail in that thing there. Take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Well, his name's recorded in this Bible right here. And I think a lot of Christians have just literally lost their high regard for the Bible. And I think it's showing in much of the behavior of Christians today, and much of the things that go on in the church. They don't check anything before they just go and just spout off at the mouth. And it's just so much, it just lackadaisical, just nonchalant about it and everything else, instead of just actually trying to find out, okay, is this behavior of mine, is this biblical? And I think that it goes along with that. Why? Because God's name is connected with how you live. You're called Christians. You say, well, I'm a Christian. Okay, well, your name is associated with the Lord Jesus Christ, Christian. You say, well, how can I take the name of the Lord God in vain in the church age? I just say, okay, I'm a Christian, and just think you just live flippantly however you want to. Throw your Bible around, not read your Bible, not pray. Just treat everybody else like you're the main one, and your opinion's above everybody else's, and your God's your belly, and you think that don't hold into play with that? I think it's going to. Now, as far as not holding you guiltless, you know you can't lose your salvation. You're eternally secure in Christ, and we know that. But don't think for an instance that that's not going to hurt your testimony, and that's not going to hurt your walk with the Lord. The book of Ephesians talks all about walking with the Lord. Now, if you're not walking with the Lord and doing what He says in His Bible, how in the world are you going to have close fellowship with Him? You go over here in Ephesians, man, it talks about walk circumspectly in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 15. The Bible talks about walk in love in Ephesians 5, verse number 2. The Bible talks about walk worthy in Ephesians 4, verse number 1. And it talks over and over and over about walking with the Lord. Well, you're not going to walk with Him if you're just taking His name in vain, if you're just spouting His name off and Jesus this and Jesus that and God this and saying, oh my God, all the time. And then you're just careless with His Bible and careless with your testimony. Look, that's what's going on. And these commandments, He's being serious about this. Why? So if you'll fear God, verse 20, you won't fear men. You know why a lot of people fear everything that's going on and fear this and fear that, and they don't have the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind? Is because they're not walking close to the Lord, and you're walking in darkness and of scare. You're going to get scared when you're walking in darkness. We're the children of the Lord, and a child gets scared when a child is walking in darkness. A lot of times they come in here wanting to get into bed with mom and dad. Why? They're scared of the dark sometimes. Well, you know what happens? You get in a fearful walk, in a fearful way, in a fearful attitude, when you're not doing these things that God said to do. Well, you walk in the light as He is in the light. You have fellowship one with another. You know what's going on? You're fearful because you're not walking in the light. And there's all kind of spiritual darkness around you, and it scares you. Your spirit's detecting it, but your physical body's not detecting it. Now, he says over here, this is one for Israel, verse number 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, that's a sign to the Jew. The Sabbath was a sign to the Jew. The Jews require signs. We kind of talked about that a pretty good bit. Now, the Sabbath day is on Saturday. So when you go to church on Sunday, that's the first day of the week. So you're not keeping the Sabbath. And, you know, if you kindle a fire on the Sabbath day, you know, you're supposed to be stoned. So we don't have that. But I know this right here. The Bible talks about for us, every day is holy. You got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you no matter where you go. People say, well, I wouldn't do that at church. Well, you got the Holy Spirit on the inside. If you wouldn't do it at church, you ought not do it anywhere. The building's no more holy than anything else. So remember that the Lord's on the inside of you and keep it holy. The Bible says, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy maidservant, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. Well, there goes your evolution and all that stuff. The sea and all that in them is. God made it all and rested the seventh day, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it. So that's for Israel there, and that's not binding on the Christian in the body of Christ. Now here's you one. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now what's so interesting about this one is in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 3, Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 3, the Apostle Paul, he requotes this thing. And look at verse number 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, that's a very important phrase, in the Lord right there. Now, look, if your parents tell you to do something that's contrary to the Word of God, that's not binding on you anymore. But you ought to obey your parents, and we ought to be some parents that's worthy to be obeyed. For this is right. Now, he says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now, that's not the first commandment. There's no mistake in the Bible. It's the first commandment with a promise connected to it. What's the promise? That it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. That's very interesting. That's very interesting. I think that if you've got some godly parents and they're telling you, look, don't go out and hang with old so-and-so, because he or she, whoever they're telling you, is you'd be a companion of a fool hanging out with them, and you go out with them and they teach you how to do all those old bad behaviors, that may lead you to early death. I believe that promise is definitely something that can help you live longer. Now, you may get cancer or something like that, and it's so sin cursed earth, but I tell you what, you got some good godly parents trying to lead you in the right way. I believe, according to that verse, that you'll get a longer life out of it. Why? Stay away from your parents all the time telling you, stay away from old so-and-so. They're not living right. They're not doing right. Stay away from them. I believe that right there will help you, and there's a blessing connected with that. I know all kind of people, and I've done it, and I hate it so bad. I wish I could take it back, but all I can do now is try to be as good for my folks as I can be. But I tell you this, there's all kind of children who are living for the devil, for the world, and the flesh, and they bring all kind of unneeded heartache on their parents. And I think that's an awful thing. I think it's an awful thing. Those parents brought us into the world, loved us, gave us a good place to live, fed us, and just gave us affection, everything else. And then here these children are down through the years, and just treat their mother and father horrible, make them worry, make them sit up late at night and stuff like that. That's a bad thing. And you know what we could do? We can honor them, and we can bless the Lord. Thank the Lord for them. If you got some parents that love you and that encourage you and want to see you do right and want to see you serve and love the Lord and want to see you do well, I think you ought to thank God for them. Well, it's good parents are hard to come by these days. There's so many parents nowadays that couldn't care any less what you do. They don't encourage you to go to church. Don't encourage you to try to do right. Don't care where you at night, and don't care whether you pray, whether you read the Bible, whether you're saved. Never tell you about the gospel and encourage you just to live like the devil. There's a lot of that out there today. So if you've got some parents that love you, love the Lord, want to pray with you, want to go to church with you, man, thank the Lord for them. Praise God for them. Pray that God will bless them and man, encourage them. Tell them, man, thank the Lord for you. Thank the Lord. I know some people right now that are just good encouragements, and I thank the Lord for them too, that they love their children, encourage their children. I thank the Lord for some parents that love the Lord. What a blessing. And I pray for more. I pray that God will raise up more parents that just love their children and love to raise them up for the Lord and nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that's a commandment. I believe that's something that this country needs. Verse number 13, thou shalt not kill. Now, the Lord gives you, in Matthew chapter number 19, verse number 18, he gives you the interpretation of that thing, thou shalt not kill. Matthew 19 and verse number 18, I believe it is. Yeah, I was turning too far here. He saith unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. So he gave you an interpretation. Don't murder. Do not murder. Now, why do we need to make that delineation? One reason is because in the Bible there are commands under war. Sometimes they had to kill people. You may have to have self-defense one of these days, and that's okay according to the Bible. That's biblical self-defense. You may actually have to kill somebody out of self-defense. Now, Lord, I hope you don't have to. But if you do, there's forgiveness with it, and God understands it. Now, Someone sent me this one time, and I made an appendix in my Bible on this thing. He sent me this, and I wrote it down. The English word kill means to deprive of life. The word murder means to unlawfully kill a person. Therefore, by English definitions, the word murder involves an unlawful act. However, if it is lawful, it would not be murder to deprive someone of life. With this in mind, I certainly think the phrase, "thou shalt not kill," is much better. For this simple reason, abortion is the law of the land. The same may be said of euthanasia. You see, that's the reason why that Bible is worded like that. You can have those cross references and they help you, but you've got to understand God's got it written for a reason. Why? Abortion is legal, but that don't mean it's not murder. And God knows it. That's why God has that Bible worded the way He does. It protects doctrine. And I tell you what else it does too. It'll protect you. You got that cross reference there, and you know that Bible is true. That Bible is right. And sometimes you may have to study to find the answer a little bit, but it's worth studying to find it. You got so many people nowadays, they say, well, this is right because it's legal. Look, you got all kind of people now around here. They're talking about, well, it won't be long. Marijuana is going to be legal. Well, that don't make it right. Just because something's legal does not make it right. It's just it never ceases to amaze me what people have find some kind of excuse to sin. And so we'll pick it up with verse number 14. And I hope that you've got a blessing and a help out of some of these studies here. I do want to be an encouragement to you. Keep serving the Lord. Keep following the Lord. Keep studying the Bible. Keep looking up. These things are written in here to help you. When the Lord says, "Thou shalt not," He says, "Help yourself to happiness." Well, when He tells you that, He's just trying to keep you from getting hurt, keep you in good. There's nothing better than to do what God's Word says and have a good fellowship with the Lord. Nothing like it. No joy that's compared to walking close to the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's able to do. I thank the Lord for this Bible. I thank the Lord for Christians who don't mind getting in here and turning these pages and studying and just wanting to grow closer to Him every day and wanting to be an encouragement to other Christians and wanting to be a help to others. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to keep lifting each other up, keep finding what God's Word says for us and try to apply it to our lives daily, have a practical application and grow closer to Him so we can lead other souls to the Lord Jesus Christ while there's still time and enjoy blessings in the Lord. Hope you have a good afternoon.